40 greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
The countdown continues for the Rio Olympics in Brazil. Remember, VOA Olympic fans, the opening ceremony for the multi-sports extravaganza will be August 5th at the Maracanã Stadium in Rio de Janeiro. Joining us now from Rio with an update on the city's Olympic preparations is our friend Luis Piazet. Sporty Olympic greetings, Luis.
Sporty Olympic greetings, Sonny. Olympic athletes competing in the test events this week past complained a lot about the climate, as the fashion model Belarusian Melitina Stanyalta, champion of the pre-Olympic rhythmic gymnastics in Rio last Friday. She said her makeup was horrible because she was sweating so much. As predicted, it has been a very hot and dry autumn. April has been so far also the busiest month of the preparation for the Olympics at large, finishing the construction venues, the mock-up of certain areas of the city, temporarily getting rid of hawkers and hamlets, and, perhaps most important of all, it has been the month of 8 test events and pre-Olympic competitions, including weightlifting, rhythmic, artistic, and trampoline gymnastics, sport shooting, swimming, non- and Paralympics, fencing, water polo, and handball. The Brazilian swimmer André Brasil, for instance, Paralympic gold medalist, hit a mark that could qualify him for the Olympics not as a para-athlete. Visiting the, although still in construction competition sites, we can already feel the Olympic athlete's atmosphere with all the typical ingredients. Effort to overcome pain, muscles stress, struggling for marks, behind the scene talking about anti-doping new rules and high warnings about it, and the old battle of newcomers athletes threatening the crown of previous Olympic champions. As we were preparing this report, calling sources and trying to speak with managers, coaches, and possibly with the very athletes, we could hear and actually see about less than a few yards from a window, two shoppers flying over police cars, escorting two buses crowded with Olympic athletes from the Olympic Village to their hotels. Soldiers hanging out of the shoppers with machine guns in hand. And we need to report that while this was taking place, at least in 3 slams out of 600 existent in Rio, there were going on shooting between the police and drug traffic landlords. Lost bullets killing passing-by citizens were officially reported.
I'm lightning bolt. I'm not flash guarding anybody. My name is Lightning Bolt.
We are able to speak with the manager of the great Jamaican Usain Bolt, Rick Simms, up in London. He confirmed to us over the phone that Bolt is 100% in good shape, and since this will be his last Olympic Games, he wants to break his own 200-meter records in Rio. Bolt used to say, no one can beat him, and he worries about his own feet. Though, about running on wheels, originally scheduled for mid-March, the test event at the indoor cycling track was pushed back to the end of April to accommodate delays in the construction of the velodrome, since the original contractor was fired. A new firm was appointed to finish off the work to ensure the track cycling test, but it will not happen again this month due to more delays. According to the International Cycling Union's president, Brian Cookson, the velodrome needs to be watertight, airtight, and air-conditioned. It is to ensure the right atmospheric temperature and moisture conditions to avoid any problems from the timber's floor, says Cookson. In the meantime, a tragic event has happened this week past. One of the so-called, by the mayor, Olympic Legacy, a tourist cycling path along the coastal area towards the Olympic Village, has partially fallen apart from a simple typical April surf wave source. Sadly, at least three human lives of occasional bikers were lost. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Luis Piazzé in Rio de Janeiro.
More Olympic news. The USA Olympic men's basketball team, which will be bidding for a third consecutive gold medal in Rio, has lined up a five-game, five-city exhibition tour here in the United States before going to Brazil. The tour tips off July 22nd against Argentina in Las Vegas, Nevada. The Americans will then play two games against Asian champion China on July 24th in Los Angeles, California, and on July 26th in Oakland, California. The U.S. team will then travel to Chicago, where they'll play Venezuela on July 29th, and the tour will wrap up in Houston, Texas, where the Americans will play African champion Nigeria on August 1st. Meanwhile, the roster for the USA Olympic women's basketball team is expected to be announced Wednesday. People familiar with the squad say two-time Olympic gold medalist Candace Parker will not be included on the team. The 30-year-old Parker helped the USA women win gold medals at the 2008 Olympics in Beijing and the 2012 Olympics in London. Parker was the team's leading rebounder in the London Games 4 years ago. Turning to Olympic golf, South African star Charles Schwartzel says he'll skip the Rio Games. The former Masters champion is the second South African in the last week to pull out of the Rio Olympics. Louis Oosthuizen said he was not going to Brazil because of family and scheduling issues. Well, U.S. women's soccer star Carly Lloyd has an injury issue ahead of the Rio Olympics. The 2015 FIFA Women's World Player of the Year sprained her right knee while playing for the Houston Dash in the National Women's Soccer League. The Dash says the 33-year-old Lloyd had an MRI exam that revealed a grade 1 sprain of her medial collateral ligament. She's expected to be sidelined 3 to 6 weeks. There were concerns that if the injury was more severe, Carly Lloyd could miss the USA women's bid for a fourth consecutive gold medal in Rio in August. Carly Lloyd scored 3 goals in the first 16 minutes of the USA's 5-2 victory over Japan in last year's Women's World Cup final. In addition, she scored both goals in the USA's 2-1 win over Japan in the 2012 Olympic women's gold medal match in London. And going back to the 2008 gold medal match in Beijing, Carly Lloyd once again scored the game-winning goal in the 96th minute in a 1-0 victory over Brazil. Joining us now in Studio 22 is Dan Friedel of the VOA's Learning English Department. Dan, welcome back to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Hey, Sonny, I'm happy to be here.
Let's talk National Basketball Association playoffs, Dan. Stephen Curry making headlines, the reigning league most valuable player. I mentioned Carly Lloyd, Dan. Sounds like Curry has a very similar injury.
You know, something that Curry and Carly Lloyd have in common is their ability to make long-range shots.
There you go.
If you remember Lloyd's shot, her goal that she scored in the World Cup final from midfield, and Steph Curry makes all the highlights for his long-range three-pointers, even some from the other side of half court.
Great comparison there, Dan. Now, getting back to Curry, how do you think his injury will affect Golden State's chances in these playoffs? Right now, they lead their series against the Houston Rockets 3-1. How do you see Golden State doing at this point with Curry out?
I think it's a given that Golden State will advance to the next round of the playoffs. They're the number one seed for a reason. They have a really deep team beyond Curry. They have the league's second best three-point shooter in Klay Thompson, for example. And they have all the experience from last year playing in the finals, getting all the way. So they know how to combat some adversity. We'll see whether this is an issue in the next round of the playoffs. We'll put Golden State into the second round, and Golden State is hoping that the other games that are being played between the Los Angeles Clippers and the Portland Trail Blazers will get extended, giving the Warriors and Curry a longer rest before the second round begins. Right now, the Clippers series with Portland is tied at 2 games apiece. And as you know, there were a couple important injuries in the Clippers game last night. Maybe you can fill us in.
Yeah, why don't we do that right now, Dan? Recap the playoff action from Monday night. The Charlotte Hornets, Portland Trail Blazers, and Oklahoma City Thunder all scored victories at home. The Thunder defeated the Dallas Mavericks 118-104 to win that first round series 4-1. All-stars Russell Westbrook and Kevin Durant once again led the way for Oklahoma City. Westbrook had a game-high 36 points as well as 12 rebounds and 9 assists, and Durant added 33 points. In North Carolina, the host Hornets, that's the club owned by NBA great Michael Jordan, they defeated the Miami Heat 89-85 to even that series at 2 games apiece. Kemba Walker scored a playoff career-high 34 points for the Hornets. And in the northwestern U.S. city of Portland, Oregon, a game that Dan mentioned, the Trailblazers beat the Los Angeles Clippers 98-84 to even that series at 2 games each. Unfortunately, as Dan mentioned, bad news for the Clippers. Their all-star point guard Chris Paul broke his right hand in the game, and their star forward, Dan, Blake Griffin, also had an injury.
Well, Griffin has been having some trouble the whole season with his quad muscle on his left leg, I believe. It seemed like he aggravated it during the game yesterday. So that's their big 1-2 punch. And if the Clippers are going to advance to the second round, where they'll play Golden State, and Golden State might be a little bit vulnerable, those two guys are going to have to be able to play. And right now it looks like Chris Paul is going to miss extended time. I was listening to some analysis of the injury. The TNT analyst Kenny Smith said he'd broken his hand like that a couple of times in the past, and he was out for 5 or 6 weeks. So we haven't yet heard about Chris Paul's status for sure. We think that Steph Curry will be out in the 2-week range. If those two teams match up in the second round of the playoffs, it will be interesting to follow those two injuries of those two very important players.
Dan, let me give a quick Sunny Side of Sports shout-out for Al-Farouq Aminu. He plays forward for the Portland Trail Blazers, and he also plays for Nigeria's national team. I think we'll see him at the Rio Olympics in August. Al-Farouq Aminu played for Nigeria at the 2012 Olympics in London. He scored a career-high 30 points last night for the Trail Blazers, and he also pulled down 10 rebounds. So Aminu making his presence felt in Portland, Dan.
Rip City, as they call it in Portland, for the noise the ball makes when it goes through the net. One of the Portland announcers nicknamed the city Rip City whenever that ball would go through the net, making that sound of the leather and the cords coming together. It'll be an interesting thing to see who advances into the next round of the playoffs in the Western Conference. But one team I thought our listeners might enjoy following in the Eastern Conference, right now we know that the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James and Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love have advanced on a 4-0 series win over the Detroit Pistons. They're waiting to see who they're going to play in the second round, whether it's the Boston Celtics or the Atlanta Hawks. And we'll see what happens in this series. The Hawks are the more established team while the Celtics are the team that got a lot of attention this year, beating Golden State when Golden State was on its long winning streak earlier in the season, there's a fun small player, 5'8" tall, Isaiah Thomas, who's scoring lots of points for the Celtics right now and pushing them to possibly get into the second round. If they do end up playing Cleveland, it'll be an interesting rematch of last year's playoff series between the Cavs and the Celtics. If you remember, it was during that series that Kevin Love, who's one of the star players for Cleveland, got hurt. He injured his shoulder and missed the rest of the playoffs. So that's one of the close series between the 4 and the 5 seed teams that I'm looking to follow the rest of the way in the Eastern Conference.
Dan, getting back to those injuries, we've been talking about Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, Steph Curry. Does that perhaps improve the chances of the 5-time champion San Antonio Spurs of making it out of the Western Conference and into the NBA Finals?
It's amazing to think about. In any other year, the Spurs would be the favorite in the Western Conference. They were one of the best teams in the regular season of all time. It's just they were surpassed by Steph Curry and the Warriors, who set the record for the most wins in a single season. Any other year, we'd be talking about how good the Spurs were. We'd be wondering if Tim Duncan was going to win another championship to kind of finish off his storied career. And now it's like San Antonio is just waiting in the weeds and nobody's paying attention to them. But that's a really good team. And if Curry does have trouble getting back and the series advances to the Western Finals and Curry's not 100%, the Warriors are definitely vulnerable right there.
And in terms of the storied career of Tim Duncan, let me give another shout out for Tim Duncan. He celebrated his 40th birthday on Monday, which I think probably makes him the oldest player in the NBA playoffs, Dan. Any thoughts on Duncan's performance in the postseason?
Well, Duncan is one of these guys who has been so consistent and so uncontroversial in his career that people almost forget about him. But he's going to go down as one of the best NBA players of all time. The interesting thing that has come up over the last couple of seasons with the Spurs is that their coach, Greg Popovich, has been really aware of giving his older players rest during the season. And fans have complained that they haven't seen the best 5 players on the Spurs on the court all the time this year, but I think it pays off in the playoffs. Now, one interesting note is if Curry does come back for, a later game in the second round series or in the first game of the conference finals, he'll be well rested, while the other players that are in that game could have potentially played about 15 games by then. So as long as Curry is able to rehab and get back to close to 100%, it might turn out to be an advantage for him having missed a couple of these early round playoff games.
Dan Friedell of the Voice of America's Learning English Department. Dan, do you have any NBA playoff stories up at the Learning English website?
Well, one of the things that I work on a weekly basis, a couple times a week, is we do a What's Trending Today story for our Learning English audience. And every once in a while, I'm able to squeeze in a story about the NBA or the Major League Baseball season or something else in the sports world, maybe the soccer world. So keep an eye on that section of the Learning English website. You might find an interesting sports story up there.
Dan, stick around. And in terms of what's trending, joining us once again on the Sunny Side of Sports is Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Sporty greetings, Andrew.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Good to be with you.
Welcome back, Andrew. What's trending in the sports world on this Tuesday?
Well, I tip my hat to you, Sonny, because you predicted yesterday on the show, you said, I think hashtag Deflategate is going to be trending again. And sure enough, it was yesterday afternoon after Tom Brady's suspension was reinstated from that Deflategate scandal. So a lot of people talking about that on social media. And at the same time, talking about the news that Steph Curry has a grade 1 MCL sprain. So those two kind of sports stories are kind of competing back and forth on social media. I put up a little Twitter poll on my Twitter, and I asked, which one do you think is more important or is going to get more coverage? And it was a tie. 50-50. They split down the middle. But those are the two big stories, I guess, that everybody's talking about, that sprain and Deflategate.
So at this point, Brady will have to miss four games in the regular season, Andrew?
He'll have to miss four games, and there's you know, a lot of the memes that we're seeing. The crying Jordan meme made a couple of appearances here and there that I saw. Also, a very happy, you know, meme of Roger Goodell kind of dancing around. People saying this is what the commissioner's office looks like right now. Of course, he has fought for that suspension. But that, you know, just playing out alongside this MCL sprain for Steph Curry, people questioning, you know, on the one hand, you have this Tom Brady story where you have people kind of celebrating that he's getting suspended. People celebrating, I guess, a little bit that it's only a grade one and not a more serious grade two or three for Steph Curry, but wondering when he might come back, if it's going to be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe more, depending on how long this sprain takes to heal.
I imagine if you're a fan of a team that has to play Steph Curry in the Golden State Warriors, you probably hope that he'll stay off the court as long as possible.
I think so, for sure. And the same can be said for Chris Paul with breaking his hand. A lot of people are saying Chris Paul is more integral to the LA Clippers than Steph Curry is to the Warriors, because the Clippers get blown out. Chris Paul's out. They're saying that the Clippers are done. They said the Warriors could still go on. It shows that they have a very strong team, as opposed to Chris Paul being really the strength of that team. With him being out, they're not going to go very far, a lot of people are predicting.
Chris Paul, I think he has a pretty good social media presence, Andrew. Has he tweeted or posted at all about his injury?
Not that I've seen. Oh, it's going to be hard. He's going to have to do it with one hand, I guess. It's a bad joke. I'm sorry, Chris Paul, if you're listening out there. It's a terrible joke. But no, it's, you know, a lot of it's coming from the fans. It's just disappointment. This is really something that we see a lot in sports, is it's the luck of the draw, to borrow kind of a sports metaphor, that Steph Curry slips on the court and he sprains his knee, or Chris Paul breaks his hand. Nothing that you could ever predict, and it's something that sports fans are very attuned to on social media, saying, you know, they're cursed, or you know, why have this happened to them? There's no explanation, no rational explanation. So there's a lot of bemoaning that on social media, for sure.
From a fan standpoint, Andrew, you have two of the premier guards, not just in the NBA, but in the world, in Steph Curry and Chris Paul. They're now out of action for an undetermined amount of time. That kind of takes away, I think, from the level of play in the playoffs.
Yeah, it's something that people have been saying, but they're also hopeful that some of the other players will step up and get to shine in the postseason. As sometimes happens, players who are maybe on the bench during the regular season or don't get to play as much, someone gets injured, a star gets injured, they have to step up and they shine and they bring the team far. So they're hoping for one of those kind of success stories, a Cinderella story, as we see in like the NCAA tournament, to try to drive these teams into the finals, into the championship.
Andrew, I encourage our Voice of America listeners to follow the Sunny Side of Sports on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny, and my Twitter handle is @VOA Sunny Sports. What else is trending, Andrew?
Well, it's a nice story out of the London Marathon, which happened this past weekend. This food blogger was at the finish line and captured photos of this couple that were getting engaged. The guy got down on one knee, proposed. She said, yes, it looks like, from these photos, because she's a big kiss. And she said, if you got engaged on the finish line at the London Marathon, I caught it on camera. Shout if you want the pics. And she tweeted them out. Well, sure enough, she found the bride and groom. They were very appreciative that somebody captured these pics and that they got so much attention on the internet. And amazingly, the groom said that he carried the ring with him for the entire marathon so that he could propose at the finish line, which I think is absolutely amazing. He said he had to keep checking his pocket to make sure he didn't drop it. I mean, that is gutsy right there. Aside from proposing at the end of the marathon, you're exhausted. You've just run 26.2 miles and you're going to propose to your girlfriend, keeping the ring with you and you know, risking dropping it. I mean, 26.2 miles is a lot of ground to cover if you have to go back and look for that ring. So congrats to them. It was a nice little social media story. Social media helped connect them to those photos.
Andrew Palcheski, the Voice of America's social media reporter. Thank you, Andrew.
Thanks very much, Sonny.
And we'll see you again on Wednesday. And that wraps up the April 26th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger, VOA engineer John Dryden. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Yeah. Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
In Tunisia, against great headwinds, the people are proving that democratic reforms can become a reality. In just a few short years, the Tunisian people have negotiated a peaceful transfer of power from a transitional government to a democratically elected coalition government. For the second year in a row, Freedom House has categorized Tunisia as free, the first Arab country to be recognized in this way. Nevertheless, Tunisia continues to face great challenges, including eradicating corruption, engaging marginalized populations, reducing bureaucracy, and creating jobs. Unless these challenges are met, said Deputy Secretary of State Antony Blinken in a recent speech, the hope and promise of this extraordinary democratic transition is at risk. That's why the U.S. is determined to deepen its political, economic, and security support for Tunisia. The U.S. is committed to help Tunisians consolidate their democratic gains as the greatest bulwark of long-term growth and stability. Tunisia has worked to improve accountability among security services, combat corruption, and hold the first-ever municipal elections. The U.S. has invested in efforts to reform the security and justice systems. In order to help the Tunisian government and private sector create jobs for youth, the U.S. is providing technical assistance and support while Tunisia's leaders are enacting tough economic reforms and working to create an environment in which business can thrive. The U.S. has extended almost $1 billion in loan guarantees to help the Tunisian government gain affordable financing. And with the $60 million in seed funding from the U.S., the Tunisian American Enterprise Fund is ramping up its investments in small and medium-sized businesses, which are engines for growth and employment. We are continuing to support educational exchanges and training to enable young Tunisians to obtain 21st century skills to find jobs. And finally, the U.S. is deepening its security cooperation with Tunisia in order to strengthen Tunisia's capability to defeat those who threaten its freedom and security. As Tunisia seeks to build the Arab world's newest democracy, they continue to have the full support of the United States.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Today on Health Chat, host Lenore Modou discusses World Immunization Week, the progress made on the vaccine front, and the remaining challenges. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. For listeners to call during the show, our telephone number is 202-619-3111. Health Chat this Tuesday at 1730 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
Next time on Straight Talk Africa, we'll discuss the politics of South Sudan, reconciling and uniting the nation. Tune in to Straight Talk Africa next Wednesday at 18:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.